For music and hymns, Lutheran Church of Our Savior's live stream and podcast are licensed by One License number A-712421, CCLI number 11113182, and number 206-76202, and Augsburg Fortress Liturgy's annual license number SAS006434. All rights reserved, used with permission. Parts of this service are spoken and streamed from SundaysandSeasons.com. All rights reserved, used with permission under Augsburg Fortress Liturgy's annual license number SAS006434.
My name is Chris Price. I'm serving as the interim pastor here of Lutheran Church of Our Savior, and welcome you that are gathered here, and welcome those who are joining us on live stream today. Today is the first Sunday in the season of Lent. This Sunday is always devoted to hearing about the temptations of Jesus, the temptations of Jesus. I want to share with you a little bit of news concerning the COVID protocols that the congregation has been following. This coming week, we are hoping to begin a review of those protocols in light of the most recent recommendations from the CDC. I can't imagine that you would join me in hoping that we can safely remove. I was telling someone we need to have a rite of mask burning. But I've been very grateful. I've been able to talk to a physician who's a member of the congregation. We're going to be meeting as a staff to make sure we thought this through carefully. So I hope to have some news for you next week. But in the meantime, I really just need to thank you again for the extraordinary patience that you have been shown throughout this wilderness of COVID. It has been obvious to me that you have shown your care and respect for one another, trying to safeguard others' health. So again, my gratitude for your patience and your discipline, and I'll just say I'm almost sinfully proud of you. You'll see in our liturgy we have begun to add some more things in light of some of the downturn in COVID. Today we will be singing the Kyrie as part of the liturgy, as well as the Sanctus, the Holy, 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 as part of our communion. We're also now going to be singing all the stanzas of the final hymn, and today it's the Lutheran National Anthem, A Mighty Fortress. In our prayers, for your prayers and concern, I would commend to you David Schumann, our treasurer, at the death of his father, Charlie Schumann, this past week. As yet, I do not have any information about and Charlie's funeral will be. He was a long-term member of First English Lutheran Church. And now, we're kind of excited to hear about the latest in the campaign for property maintenance and beautification. That's what I mean, beautification. So we have a group.
Good morning. Last October and November, we held one of three planned fundraisers for the church. That one was for mortgage reduction. And with the $10,000 in seed money that council has allotted for each of the three fundraisers, and your donations for mortgage reduction, we shaved at least 2 years off of the term of our mortgage and saved thousands of dollars in interest over the term of the loan. So it was a huge success. This time, our focus is property maintenance and beautification. On the maintenance side of things, we need a new riding lawnmower to service our property. And Scott is going to talk about that in just a second. And on the beautification side, I think all of us can look around and think of dozens of things we'd like to improve on our property. But we don't want to spread ourselves too thin. We want something doable, and we want to see results. And for that reason, the plan is to redo or give a facelift to the landscaping at the front of the church, through across the whole front of the church. And my better half here is going to talk about that a little bit. And then Babs is going to kind of tie it together and tell you how we're going to see things through in the next few weeks.
So last summer, I was riding along with a zero-turn mower. Okay. And for those who are aware, you push right or left. That is your right. Anyway, and my right over here. And I'm going along, and this handle comes off. It's not good to lose your right turn or power when you're driving one of those things. And so I got to stop, and without running into any cars or anything, which is good. And then I managed to get a bolt in there, but that's not going to stay there because the whole thing's vibrating. So I used what everyone needs, duct tape! Yay! And to this day, that mower is still running, kind of. But it's anticipated. Its engine's already making creative noises. And so what we're going to do now, we are going to replace it. We've already had, we've got some great people who've worked it out. We've got a mower lined up. And that's going to be the first part of our fundraiser, to raise the money to replace that mower. And it's going to be big and powerful, so our guys are going, you know. So anyway, first step, I don't want to tell too much about it, but when my wife gets power tools, it's scary. Go ahead.
Okay. I know this is a little bit difficult for you to see in the back rows, but we'll have this and also a larger exhibit out there waiting for you on the way out this afternoon. But just a little bit about the plan. This, as you'll be able to see in the larger detail, is the actual plan. There will be curved stone edging. It'll be both vertical and horizontal. The horizontal part is there to keep that mower from plowing into the wall. So I'm not sure which one would give first, since the edging is set in concrete. So that is the wall, the edge. Now, there will be four different types of plants. We've worked with Cross Creek Nursery. Their horticulturist, Patrick over there, has been just super to work with. And we've come up with four different types of plants. Well, these, don't ask me to pronounce their names. I only can pronounce Nandina. The rest are, I don't know. But they're both good looking for the summer months as well as the winter. The exhibit you'll see on the way out will show you how they will change color toward the winter months. But the attributes that they have are similar in that the growth rate is slow, the growth habit is compact. They're categorized as evergreen. The light needs, they favor the exposure they will have in the front of this building, so that's good too. And with moderate watering needs. Now, you know, we can't count on Mother Nature for all the watering, so what we're planning on doing is putting soaker hoses. We'll have battery-operated valves that will time the watering and so forth. We'll have to experiment with that to get it just right, but there will be adequate water to keep our investment growing. We're going to, part of it, you can't tell from this, but the two crepe myrtles will also benefit from the same kind of edging that will go around it. And that will be roughly 7 feet in diameter, of course, it'll be mulched and so forth. It will really add a nice touch to what we planted last year. Finally, of course, when you build an edge like this in front of the church, you have to think about the water accumulation. We have 5 downspouts. So those downspouts will be ducted out to the parking lot on the edge of the parking lot, which is where that water will be released. So that'll be underground underneath the edging and so forth. It will come out in the parking lot. Again, there's a photograph of what that will look like on your way out in the bigger exhibit.
All right, how many of you have ever seen or heard of the show Shark Tank? Well, this is your lucky day. Today and for the next 6 weeks, you get to be the sharks. Have you ever driven into the church parking lot and thought, oh, boy, it looks a little tired? Or worse, thought about inviting a neighbor, but you're a little embarrassed that it's not quite the first impression that you want to make? Well, have I got a deal for you. We are seeking, for your donated dollars, 100% equity stake in the joy and satisfaction of knowing that you are part of the solution. We actually already have $13,500 donated for this use. For just a mere $10,000 more, we can make this dream a reality. So, sharks, I hope you're all in.
There's some more detailed information in your bulletin today, and also ways to give. So I encourage you to take this home and think about it. If you have any questions, please stop by and look at this on the way out. Also, we have envelopes, as we did the last time, with property fund on them. So you can use those and put it in the offering plate, or if you write a check, be sure to put property fund in the memo section just to help our tellers, because they can mix it up with the operating funds and we don't want to do that. So thank you very much. Yes?
Can you pay for it online?
Yes, over online. And there's other ways too. So anyway, thank you guys.
Thank you. Now let us use our prelude. Prepare for the worship of God this day. Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God is calling us to follow Christ in the way of the cross. As we come to worship God, let us confess our sins and seek the forgiveness that Christ died to grant us. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
gracious God, let us pray. O Lord God, you led your people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide us now, so that following your Son, we may walk safely through the wilderness of this world toward the life you alone can give. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Reading from Deuteronomy. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket, and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramaean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation. mighty, and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm responsibly. You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty,
you will say to the Lord, my refuge and my stronghold, my God in whom I put my trust.
Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation,
no evil will befall you, nor shall affliction come near your dwelling.
For God will give the angels charge over you, to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone.
You will tread upon the lion cub and viper. You will trample down the lion and the serpent.
I will deliver those who cling to me. I will uphold them, because they know my name.
They will call me, and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble, and I will rescue and honor them.
With long life I will satisfy them, and show them my salvation.
A reading from Romans. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved.
You're better here now. You're better here now.
Yep. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
To St. Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Jesus answered him, it is written, one does not live by bread alone. Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, to you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered him, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite the children to join me for a talk with the pastor.
Good morning. Do you know what temptation is? It's a pretty big word, temptation. Temptation is kind of not doing what you've been told to do. Temptation is kind of going after what you shouldn't have. Sometimes life just makes us do that. You ever heard a parent say, "It's time to make up your room. Time to straighten your room." And you could be tempted to say, "Well, I don't think I want to watch TV now." Or maybe go outside and play a game. You seem to be tempted not to do what we should do. Well, we've heard in our gospel lesson that Jesus himself was tempted to do what he shouldn't do. And he was tempted by this being called the devil. Now, I can't even imagine this, but Jesus had been out in like a desert wilderness for over a month. And we're told he didn't have anything to eat. How would you be feeling? I would be sick. I'd be famished. Oh, boy, I'd be ready to eat dirt, I think. But the devil comes to him and said, "You're the Son of God. You can take this stone and turn it into what? Bread. See, you can just take care of yourself." I said, "Oh, you gotta think about yourself first, right?" Does Jesus do that? No, he does not. Instead, he tells the devil, Jesus remembers something in the Bible, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God." So the devil's probably a little frustrated. So the next thing, the devil takes him up to a high mountain. And it says, in a moment, he shows the devil all the glory and the power of every great country in all time and in all places. And the devil says, "You know, I'm in charge of all this, and I will give it to you, Jesus. You can have all the power, all the glory. All you got to do is worship me." Does Jesus do it? No. Again, he thinks of Scripture. Scripture, the Bible. He remembers we are to serve only God. Only God. Well, the devil is not done yet. There's another chance. He puts Jesus in the city of Jerusalem, and he's way on the top of the temple. Now, in Jerusalem, the temple was the highest building. And Jesus is on top of the highest building. And the devil says, "Jump off. And you won't have a thing to worry about, because the Bible says God will send angels and save you." Wow, if Jesus did that, can you imagine? People in the city would look up, all these angels would be coming down, and they would grab Jesus, save him. Everybody would know that Jesus is just great. Just great. Does Jesus do it? No. He says, quote Scripture again, "You shall not test the Lord your God." Now, everything the devil tried to do was to make sure Jesus didn't have to face that. What's that? The cross. And on the cross, it's not about Jesus saving himself, is it? By the cross, Jesus is going to save you and me. The devil tries to get Jesus to think only about himself. And not about you, me, and all the people that need it. So Jesus takes the hard way that ends up being the great way. And Jesus reminds us that in the Bible, we will find words of God that will help us whenever we feel tempted to do something we shouldn't or not to do something we should. Thank you, boys and girls, for sharing with me. Wafting down, it looked like a dove, a gentle being of fluttering peace and cooing love that alit upon him, still dripping with river water from the right of a stark prophet who had imagined fire and wintering fork instead. It's the only occasion when the Holy Spirit of God Almighty is ever embodied. And it looks like a gentle dove. But you know what they say about appearances, right? They can be a bit deceiving. Some folks look for what they call spirit-filled worship, or spirit-filled experiences, or spirit-filled fellowship. And I'm not sure that, well, our kind of liturgical worship, or devotional experience, or mild fellowship is what they have in mind, at least at first. No, they're probably looking for a rush of the glory, a wave of joy, a sense of the spectacular that, well, we Lutherans are awfully good at either hiding or avoiding. But I have a lot of sympathy with those folks who yearn for a spirit-filled experience these days. I mean, with the economy as inflationary as it is, with the dispiriting cutbacks and means and hopes that many people are having to face, and after the dreary days of winter and COVID, I mean, who wouldn't want a spirit-filled experience to carry us away from the doldrums of wanting a more fulfilling life than what we seem to have, to let us transcend the vexing problems that we're facing and the unreasonable expectations we have to deal with every day, and to lift us out of this dreary winter wilderness of our souls, and with the rush of power, with the sweeping vista of some angels on high, and with the surging sense of a spectacular God. Hallelujah, Jesus, bring it on, right? Yeah, many of us would like some of that spirit-filled stuff these days. But I have to tell you, that kind of spirit-filled experience is almost exactly what the devil offered Jesus. The rush of power over any situation, the sweeping vista of all everyone could hope for, and the gripping excitement of being spectacular. This kind of spirit-filled experience and existence is what the devil offered to Jesus, who, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Luke tells us that there's a big difference between spirit-filled experiences and being full of the Holy Spirit. In the experience of our Lord Jesus, they mean very different things. The Holy Spirit does not save Jesus or us from wilderness experiences. Instead, the Holy Spirit leads Jesus and us in the wilderness experience of testing and temptation. Harsh conditions, groaning hunger, long loneliness, vexing and vying expectations, I don't think that's what most people have in mind when they seek spirit-filled experiences. But that is what being full of the Holy Spirit led Jesus to face.
The Holy Spirit does not insulate one from temptation or trial. The Holy Spirit is not afraid of the tempter. The Holy Spirit is almost restless for the contest with the devil. I guess almost every one of us takes some real and right comfort in the news that Jesus was tempted. This episode affirms the humanity of Christ, even as it challenges Jesus to understand his divinity, his being the true Son of God. And some great and lasting truths are presented to us for our experiences of temptation and trial. We learn that the devil is great at offering us shortcuts. Shortcuts that would lead us out of our wilderness of rest and our want right now. The truth is, human beings do hunger for many things. Comfort foods, self-satisfaction, fullness of life, from performance steroids to sexual affairs to get-rich-quick schemes, the devil offers many ways that would seem to gratify our desires now and to end the hunger. The devil hopes we'll claim our power to end the wanting and to enjoy the happy now. The devil hopes, but the more we fall for shortcuts to gratification, the less we will hunger for God. And who should have the power and deserve the satisfaction more than the Son of God? But one does not live by bread alone. That is a quote from the book of Deuteronomy. We now learn that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, uses Scripture to combat the temptations of the devil. Over and over again, Jesus resorts to the Word of God, and just so tells us that fullness of the Spirit, the true Spirit, is an ongoing hunger for the Word of the Lord. When you or I stop hungering for God, for the Word of God in this wilderness of temptations, then we've chosen to trust the devil's lie about what will really make us feel fulfilled. The Spirit-filled experience many seek includes a sweeping vista of all that anyone could hope for. And that's what the devil offers Jesus next. Hey, you're the Son of God. Who better to have all the world's glory and authority? And the sooner, the better. Why mess around in this wilderness of geopolitics and seething unrest any longer? This is the temptation to have the place of God without having to follow God, to get the glory and authority of God without having to suffer the terrible mystery and strange ways of God. This is the choice of the great Caesars of every age, including our own. Sheer gain, almost no pain. But again, Jesus voices Scripture and amazingly tells us that the greatest glory is really to serve God rather than to be a God. The humble service of the Lord God has not only outlasted every kingdom of this world, it has surprisingly brought down many empires in the world. Having all one could ever hope for is no substitute for serving the God of all hope. And now we discover that even the devil can quote Scripture. The devil quotes the Psalms about God's promise to deliver the Lord's chosen from any fall or doom, and offers to Jesus the chance to go for the spectacular. God's dramatic rescue of a plummeting Jesus would be this spectacular and convincing proof that Jesus is indeed the great Messiah, that there is a God after all, and that we can all move beyond the risk of sheer faith to the magnificence of certain salvation. Even the devil quotes scriptures to tempt us to abandon the everyday riskiness of faith. Even the devil quotes scriptures to warp our faith so that it would be about God saving us instead of God saving others through us. It's a subtle but great temptation to make our faith all about God's guarantee to save us rather than God's love to save others through us. If all of this is about God just saving us, then we'll have a grand time fantasizing about all the splendor of the angels, and we will never take up that cross and follow Christ in God's mission to others. For Luke, this is the devil's greatest temptation of Jesus, the temptation to make faith all about my wonderful salvation, rather than God's awesome will to save others through me. So what kind of church are we going to be? The one which glories in its own salvation, or the one which follows Christ in the salvation of others? Even the devil can quote scripture. During every time of disagreement or dissension within our church, I have heard quotes from scripture that seem to cheapen grace such that anything goes. And I have heard quotes from scripture which are so rich in damnation that nothing or no one would have a chance. I think the devil has been busy quoting both these sets of scriptures to us. But I believe the Lord Jesus has also been busy preserving the true faith of his body, the church. Scripture is never to be used as our words to God about whom the Lord is sure to save or to damn. Scripture is God's word to us about the Lord's awesome mission to bring desperately needed truth, healing, and salvation to people who are lost, messed up, and dying. The question before us now is not whether God loves us enough to save us, but whether we can love God enough to pick up that thing and join the mission of salvation. When it comes to quoting scripture, the devil can play Jesus' game, but the devil does not win, not then, or later at that opportune time of a cross, or even now. The devil does not win Jesus over, ever. And by the grace and call of God, we are Jesus' body, the church, sorely tempted by the devil to warp our faith, yet grounded in the scriptures as God's precious word, and trusting more than anything else in the Christ who refused the spirit-filled experience of his own salvation in order to go even to a cross full of the Holy Spirit for others' salvation. Wafting down, it looked like a dove. But on the cross, it is a grave-splitting phoenix, rising from all the ashes of the devil's wiles. Holy Spirit. There's a big difference between looking for the spirit-filled experience and following Christ, full of the Holy Spirit. And to his everlasting frustration, the devil knows it.
God, we offer these prayers for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for the church. Sharpen its proclamation of your word so that your people learn to reject voices of deception and distraction. When we are tempted to believe lies about ourselves or others, guide us with the truth of Jesus. Merciful God, we pray for those in the wilderness. Help us make our way through life by protecting the environment. Protect refugees as they make their way through danger and threat. By watering the dry places of mortal danger, awaken the leaders of the nations and the people of Russia to the need for justice and peace. Merciful God, we pray for those in need. Rescue those experiencing mental illness, contending with addiction. Ease the anxiety of those who live with dementia. Command your angels to bear up all who are sick and weighed down. We lift our voices to pray, especially for Leo, Steve, Beth, Albert, the Young and Chisler families, Bill, Terry, the Reynolds and Kepler families, Jerry, Jamie, Bertie, Jean, Nancy, Mitch, Nancy, Carl, Whitten, Maria, Marge, and Victor, and all for those whom we keep on our minds and in our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
We pray for our congregation. Grant wise discernment to our call committee. Bless those who prepare the table for our communion with you and those who help us broadcast our worship of you. Equip those who step forward to feed the hungry and house the homeless. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Accept the prayers we bring, O God, on behalf of a world in need, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Most holy and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Send your Spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with his life gave us this prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Here is food and drink for the journey of faith. Come and taste of the goodness of God. For the body of Christ. For the body of Christ. For the body of Christ. For you, the body of Christ. For you, the body of Christ. For you, the body of Christ. Thank you.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and keep you in God's grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Blessed Jesus, in this rich meal of grace, you have fed us with your body as the bread of life. Now send us forth to feed others with the life-giving hope we have in you. Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks be to God.